Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Why I Quit Delivering Food by Michael Squid.
I've been Dash delivering for a few months now and enjoy the freedom of not having a boss order me around. I can play whatever music I want in my car and take jobs I want and skip the ones that tip poorly. I'm not saving much due to the gas costs, but I am saving, and I was enjoying seeing new places and meeting new people. That changed after I received a notification for a $150 paying delivery. Immediately, I swiped accept and then pulled over to read it. I first expected this to be some out-of-state delivery to some rich individual longing for some Michelin-rated specialty. I regretted not checking the distance first, but still very much worth the easy $150. I sighed with relief and pressed the GPS button to bring up the map to a restaurant named Danny's that I had not previously heard of. The sun was setting early, as it does in October, and I had my lights on by the time I made it to a less populated corner of town where the restaurant was apparently located. Dinner brings the best tips, but I hate driving at night since it's harder to find restaurants without a boldly emblazoned logo lit up in neon. That, and I've always harbored some lurking fear of a delivery churn mugging, or worse, some gang-initiated killing. Rare as it is, it has happened.
You have arrived at your destination.
The soothing voice of the GPS alerted me. I slowed to a stop, confused. I was on a dark residential street, no sign of a restaurant in sight. Where Danny's was supposed to be was a dark gap in between two homes. I checked it again, even typing the restaurant name into maps outside of the delivery app, but nothing popped up. I realized then it might have been a glitch. $150 for a 30-minute delivery sounded too good to be true. I sighed and began searching the app for the troubleshooting menu when a loud slap on my passenger side window caused me to jump in my skin. A man stood outside my car, his hand pressed against the pane. I rolled down the window, only a crack, just enough to hear him. "You the delivery driver?" he asked, and my mouth went dry. I didn't want to say yes because the vision of a pistol pulled and a muzzle flash kept playing in my mind. But he seemed harmless enough. Older, too. Mid-50s, receding hairline, thin frame. Not quite the gang initiation type. I was fairly certain everyone knew that delivery drivers nowadays don't carry cash. "Yeah, I'm looking for Danny's restaurant. Is it near here?" The man just looked at me with a hollow stare before raising his other hand. The fear of an impending bolt to the brain immediately dissipated when I saw a large plastic bag. I sighed out in relief and lowered the window, accepting the delivery. It was large, much larger than I was used to delivering. I typically receive a styrofoam container or two, a drink as well. The plastic bag contained a stapled paper one, filled out nearly to the top. I needed to use both hands to accept it. I placed a surprisingly heavy meal in the passenger seat, staring at it for a moment before looking up again. "Thank you." My words tapered off as I realized the man was already a few yards back. I watched him disappear into the shadow-filled gap between houses. I have no idea where he was going or where he had come from. Dark curiosity led me back to the app, to see what I was even delivering. My confusion only heightened when I saw the order. "Danny's," it simply said, where cheeseburger, fries, and the like would typically be listed for me to check off upon pickup. Despite the questions that kept tugging at my resolve, $150 for this awkward delivery was the overpowering factor. I swiped the slide after pickup button bar to continue the delivery. My insides squirmed a bit at the revelation. The delivery address seemed to be dead in the middle of the woods. I shifted into drive and followed the directions onto the highway. The sun had fully set, but the tunes from the radio kept me in good spirits. Few people were on the road, so I was making great time, and could call it an early night after this gig. The miles counted down from 15 to 10 to 5. The off-ramp came into view, and the large pine trees on either side of the highway continued to darken the path as I merged onto smaller roads. With every mile further into the wilderness, my uneasiness grew. More than a few times, my eyes darted over to the suspicious double-bag delivery on my seat. My heart raced as my mind played tricks on me in the shrouding darkness of the tall trees on either side. I did a double take when I thought I saw the bag rustle. Something within appeared to have moved. The last turn on the GPS signaled for me to take a left. It was a turn off the paved asphalt road and onto a dirt road that cut into the woods. I slowed to a stop and double-checked the app, praying there was some sort of mistake. On occasion, the wrong address was listed. No luck, however. My destination was a half mile into the dense wall of pines. I took the turn and slowly drove into the dark tunnel cutting through the arching trees. I could barely see the sky through the dense clouds overhead, just darkness broken up by the limb-like branches. With each rocking of the chassis and each bump in the narrow dirt road, that heavy bag on the passenger seat seemed to rustle. I fixed my eyes on the road, deciding not to look at it after I began to hear a faint noise emitting from the stapled inner bag. A noise that sounded like a faint wheezing. By the time I arrived at the destination, my knuckles were white from gripping the wheel so hard. I was sweating, despite the autumnal chill that had breached my car and clothing. This part of the woods seemed colder than any part of the drive by at least 10 degrees. I shifted into park and looked at the app screen, the only source of light aside from my headlights, which faded only a few meters out. The address was supposedly on the left, and the instructions read, "Leave at door." There was no house in sight, however. It had to be a glitch of sorts. Above all else, I didn't want to leave the safety of my vehicle. This entire delivery had been all wrong. Something dreadful about it made me crave a shower. It made me want to run screaming from the situation I had unknowingly gotten myself into. I saw the bag shift in my peripheral vision, and I let out a glottal yelp. I hurriedly opened the car door and got out, eager to distance myself with whatever was in the bag. I then navigated the menu app on my phone screen, seeking out the cancel order option. My score would go down, I'd miss out on the money, but I'd be able to get out of this strange gig that I wanted nothing more to do with. I was about to press confirm on the cancellation when I spotted the door. It looked ancient, its thick wooden beams bone white from petrification. The design was archaic, something that belonged on the side of a medieval European church. Black steel hinges and latches ornamented it, but the most noticeable feature was the one it was missing. The door was housed in a frame of charred black beams, but aside from that, it wasn't attached to anything. I stared at the structure and felt my heartbeat quicken. Dread and curiosity battled within my screaming mind as I tried to register what this door was and why it was out there. I took a few hesitant steps towards it and felt the hairs of my body rise. With every step towards the detached door, the temperature dropped. I stepped around the unnatural thing to peer behind it, and sure enough, there was nothing behind but endless trunks of trees. I'd made it this far, and I just wanted to get my money and get out. With a few deep breaths, I returned to my car and opened the passenger door. With two hands, I lifted the heavy delivery, which shook in my shivering arms. It moved. Something gasped and gurgled from within, but I continued carrying the parcel over to that strange door. My teeth chattered from the chill as I placed a large bag on the dead leaves in front of the door. I took a photo to verify the delivery, then swiped to complete it. And with that, I rushed back to my car and got inside as quickly as possible. I then heard the faint cries of an infant. I saw the bag shift and shake, poked outward from the inside. I shifted into reverse and began to backtrack down the pitch-black road into the heart of the woods. Not before I saw that rotted black arm with long, desiccated fingers reach out eagerly. I watched it yank that screaming delivery bag into the impossible space behind the door that should not exist.
At the time of this story, I was a 23-year-old woman living in Charleston, South Carolina. I know the way I phrase that makes it sound like I'm not a woman anymore. I am, but anyway, this is my story. I worked as a paralegal at one of the small law firms in town, and 5 days a week during my lunch hour, I'd head off to the same Starbucks near my workplace to grab a coffee. My job was actually pretty repetitive, and so was my lunchtime routine. Most people's are, I suppose. That's why I'd always see the same faces in the coffee shop, day in and day out. It was like a little microcosm. The same baristas were always there too. There was this one guy who worked there every weekday. According to his tag, his name was Randall. He was about 6 foot tall, average build, had very short, ginger hair, a crew cut I guess you'd call it. No Prince Charming, but not entirely unattractive either. Just a guy who kind of blended in. You know how at Starbucks they ask for your name to write on the cups? Well, the first few times Randall took my order, he asked me for mine. Stephanie, I'd say. He saw me so frequently that I guess he just committed my name to memory after that. Every day I'd approach the counter, and every day Randall would take my order, no name required. He'd just jot it down on the cup without asking. After a couple of weeks of this, however, Randall started flirting with me, I suppose. Not verbally, but through his writing on the cup. He started drawing little hearts over the I in my name, and sometimes even drew some after my name as well. Bear in mind, I'd never actually spoken to this guy. Well, other than giving him my order. No friendly chit-chat or anything. I mean, I was flattered and all, but I wasn't interested. The strange part is every time I went in there, he'd never tried to talk to me more than just taking my order, and never addressed the fact that he was adding these flirty touches to his writing. In fact, he never showed any kind of emotion on his face whatsoever. No smiles, no eyebrow movement, kind of a robotic guy. You'd have thought this was his build-up to asking me out or something. But nope, he just acted professional at the counter, and never said anything apart from, "What would you like?" and "That'll be $X.50. Despite that, he kept on adding the little hearts every time he wrote my name down. And over time, he even started adding little kisses after my name. It made things a little uncomfortable for me, but maybe he was just a little odd in the head, and did this to regular customers too. I just accepted it and ignored it. That is, until the day he added his phone number to the cup, along with a little winky face drawn next to it, with a speech bubble saying, "Call me." I immediately went back to Randall at the counter, and quietly and politely turned him down, letting him know that I was flattered, but that now wasn't really a good time for me. Just a little white lie. Like always, his face remained neutral. No emotional response at all. He simply said, "Okay," and averted his eyes. It was very awkward. I usually take my coffee to go, but that particular day, I really speed-walked out of there. From then on, I considered going somewhere else for my coffee, but to be honest, I really liked what I got from Starbucks, and the only other one nearby was an extra 10-minute walk away. I figured we were both adults, and the situation didn't need to be awkward, so I kept going back there. Randall remained stony-faced as always. Luckily, the love hearts on the coffee cup stopped after that, and things went back to being normal. Time passed, and one weekend, I agreed to go on a lunch date with another guy I met. We both had super busy schedules, but worked near each other, and had the same time slots for lunch, so it made sense for us to have a mini 1 hour coffee and conversation. We agreed that the Starbucks would be a nice, casual spot. I forgot to consider the whole Randall situation entirely. I got there, and the guy I'm meeting's already found a table. I go over and give him a hug. He asks me what I'd like to drink, and, like a gentleman, goes up to the counter to order. I sit, waiting at the table. When he comes back with the coffees, my date says to me, "Damn, the guy who took my order has a real attitude problem." I turn to see who he's talking about. Standing by the register, glaring at the both of us, was Randall. He had a look of intense anger on his face, like a person who's just been betrayed. This was the only time I'd ever seen any kind of emotion from the guy at all. Yeah, he didn't even ask me what I wanted, just stared at me angrily and snatched the money right out of my hand. Some people, huh? Annoyingly, we couldn't take our coffees to go, as they came in mugs and not takeout cups. We just sat there, trying to have a normal date. All the while, Randall continued to glare at us from the counter, only looking away briefly when someone came up to order. After the most awkward date of my life, thanks to Randall, the two of us got up, said that we'd be in contact, and went back to our respective workplaces. I'd like to say that Randall was just an awkward and harmless guy. I'd like to say that this is where the story ends. But on both counts, I'd be lying. That same night, I was sat alone in my apartment, watching TV, thinking about work, my awkward date, the bills I had to pay, and life in general. All of a sudden, there's a frantic knocking on my front door. I got up and peered through the peephole. On the other side was Randall.
Is he in there with you?
What the hell? What was he doing here? Better question, how did he know where I lived?
I know you're in there. I know he's there too. Well, answer me.
I was terrified and confused. Randall, what on earth are you talking about? Go away! The door handle rattled as he tested it from the other side. Luckily, I'd locked the thing when I got home. Then, slam, he threw the full weight of his body against my door. The damn psycho was trying to break in. Another slam, and then another. My door bounced with every thud against it. From there, autopilot took over me. I grabbed a knife from my kitchen area and ran into the bathroom at the other end of my apartment. I locked myself in there and called the cops. From all the noise he was making, I'm sure a few of my neighbors did too. None of them came out to stop him though, and I can't say I blame them. Randall was slamming on my front door for a good 10 minutes before it gave way. Luckily, it was quite sturdy, and he was no superstar athlete. I could hear him in my apartment, though, and I tried to muffle my fear as I hid in my locked bathroom. Thankfully, the police arrived shortly after he broke in. I could hear them telling him to freeze. But when my heart really sank, when it really hit the floor, was when I heard one of the officers shout something I didn't expect to hear. Drop the weapon. As it turns out, Randall had come with a gun in his hand. Before coming to my place, he'd broken into another house in a different part of Charleston. Namely, the house of my date from earlier. He'd smashed a window, crawled inside, and trashed the place. Didn't take anything, but he didn't go there to steal. Luckily, my date wasn't home that night. He was out with his buddies. Randall then came to my place, thinking that was where my date was. He figured we were an item. Turns out Randall had been stalking me for months, always keeping his distance, watching from the shadows. He'd become obsessed. Because I live such a routine existence and I was so predictable, it was easy for him to track me. He followed me on his time off, and, by his own admission, would stand outside my apartment complex at night, looking up at my window, thinking about coming up to surprise me. Before that night, he decided that would be too creepy. At least he had some sense, I guess. Randall got time. 5 years for his threatening behavior. Not long enough in my book, but at least I won't be seeing him at Starbucks anymore. I also got a restraining order for when he gets out, and switched firms and apartments to keep him from finding me. Still, what if my date had been home that night? What if the police didn't arrive as quickly as they did? I'm not sure I want to know the answers to those questions. He never actually hurt anyone, and the prosecutors couldn't prove that he had evil intent, so I can kind of understand why the judge gave him such a short sentence. But I know in my heart that he came to kill. Now all I want is to never see Randall again.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.